Okay. Let's see how your memory is. Dasher, Dancer, Prancer, Vixen, Comet, Cupid, Donner, Blitzen. Oh, you're good. Okay, and if you want to include the more recent one, that would be Rudolph. So you actually know all nine reindeer. How are you with the 12 disciples? Just as I thought. Well, you know what? I had to look up a couple names too because they're not all that well known. So let's talk about that for a minute. Probably the one that we recognize the most is Peter, because Peter seems to get the limelight most in the Gospels. And then probably after him, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, the sons of thunder. Then probably Thomas, because of the story that we hear after the resurrection. And probably Judas would be another one, because we know he betrayed Jesus. But what about the rest? That's five. There's seven. Anybody know anybody else? Bartholomew? Okay, thank you, over there. What's that? Nathaniel actually is Bartholomew, depending upon which version you read, but that's good, thank you. What's that? John? Okay, we mentioned John already. Well, yes, of course, Andrew, we heard about him today. Matthew, also known as who? He's a tax collector, right? But he has another name, too, by another count. Levi, very good. Oh, you guys are good. Who else? I'm sorry. I'm hearing names at the same time. One at a time. Mark? No, Mark's not it. Well, he wrote a gospel, but he wasn't a disciple. Anybody else? How about Thaddeus? Oh, yes, how could I forget Thaddeus? There was another James, son of Alphaeus. There was another Simon, who was known Simon as the Zealot. Anybody else? Philip? Yes, thank you. Thank you. And if you are real knowledgeable, sometimes they refer to the two Jameses as one as James the Greater and then James the Lesser. And it's only because James the Greater was more well-known than James the Lesser. Makes sense, doesn't it? So, okay, but, you know, doesn't that concern you a little bit that we don't know all the disciples? A little bit? That's okay. It's all right. But let me explain why, okay? So we have, let me read the list one more time, and you can insert what are the alternate names if you want. So we have Simon Peter, who, you know, a man with two names, also known as Cephas, so that's three. Andrew, James, son of Zebedee, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Thomas, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot. Today we hear about Andrew, and this is about the only time we will hear about Andrew in the whole of the gospel. And what is Andrew known for? He's known because he has followed Jesus. And then when he discovered who Jesus was, he went back to tell his brother, Peter, and said, I found the Messiah. And so he said, come, I want you to see him. And Simon goes, and of course, Jesus makes this proclamation. You know, here's Simon, son of John, and from now on I'm going to call you Cephas. Okay? Peter's thinking, how does he know all this? So these individuals are the ones whom Jesus calls, and we don't know. We know that there was a whole following to Jesus. There could have been many other disciples that are not named here. There could have been, you know, 17 disciples or 150 disciples. 12 is a full number in the Jewish tradition. It is also the number of tribes of Israel. So it meets what, you know, what people are looking for. Here's what is complete, what will complete us by following this Messiah. Now, the interesting thing about all this is that even though Andrew isn't known that well, does it make him any less than any of the other disciples? No, of course not. How many of us anticipate that our names are going to be remembered long gone after we passed on? How many of you think will be categorized in another Bible of some kind? Well, I see a lot of hands here. Certainly, I don't believe so. I can tell you, you know, my guess is, I've been, this is, let's see, one, two, three, four. This is my fifth parish I've been in. I would assume that the only reason that they still remember me in my first parish is that I was one of those odd persons that went back and ended up serving them a second time because they happened to be close by a parish that I was serving full time and they needed help. But I would suspect that maybe in another 10 or 15 years, I'll just be another name on the board with other pastors, people that their names have long forgotten. You're young enough that many of you can know Pastor Mark. You know, how many of you remember Pastor Mark? Just put your hand up. See, there's a few of you, okay? And of course, Pastor Frank, who was most recent, right? Yeah, you should all pretty much know him, okay? But let's say in another 50 years, how many people are going to remember some of the names? Only because if there's a history that's listed, maybe we might. Is that bad? Well, to me, it's kind of sad that, you know, I would hope that my legacy would be known and most likely through my family. But even that will kind of dwindle out, you know, because I don't know beyond my great-grandparents. I can't, you know, my brother's the ancestry person, so he traces everybody back, and he's got us back into the 1600s. But I don't remember because I didn't know them. You know, I remember my great-grandmother on my mother's side, and that was it because she was the only one that lived among the great-grandparents. I never knew my one grandfather because he died when my dad was 13. And I suspect that down the road, there will be some in my family that will not know who I am. But is that bad? No. Because what's important to me is that the connection that I have with God, right? Each and every one of us is connected to God by virtue of our baptism. And because we are connected by our baptism, we are connected to each other. And even though we may forget who we are over the next 10, 15, 20, 30, 40 years, it doesn't matter because we're still connected. Do you know that I was connected to you even before I got to know you? By virtue of the fact that we share a common faith, that we share a common baptism, that we were all together, even before I was ordained. Weird. But that's how it is. And when we are connected now, not only are we connected to each other, for example, last week, we introduced Alex, and he's, you know, recently engaged. Now we're going to be connected to his fiancée, Maggie. Is she excited about that? Okay. And we're connected to Alex's family. And then when Alex becomes ordained, we will be connected to the congregations he serves. So we are not only teaching one individual here, but we will be introducing hundreds of individuals to the gospel of Jesus Christ by virtue of our connection, by virtue of the fact that somebody took the time to say to Alex, come and see. By virtue of the fact that somebody came to me and said, come and see, my parents, my Sunday school teachers, my professors, my neighbors, all these individuals in my lifetime who have witnessed to me about the love of God, and who in my moments of weakness and sometimes in my doubts, there would be somebody inevitably that would come along and say, David, what's going on? Let's talk. And they would tell me about their faith, and they would tell me and remind me again about the reason that God is with me. Yes, even pastors need to hear that. You witness to me because of our connection. It's not a one-way street. It's not just pastors witnessing to their congregational, but we witness to each other, and that's exciting. Today, we have the witness of Isaiah from the Old Testament passage. We have the witness of Paul to the Corinthians. And the Corinthians were a congregation that was in disarray. There was all kinds of troubles going on. And he was telling them that they were united under the one body of Jesus Christ. And that's the same thing with us. Paul, who at one time was such a terrible person, who persecuted Christians, who brought fear into the hearts of those around him, becomes the most prolific writer in the New Testament and brings us the message of Jesus because he gets connected. So today, as we celebrate this Vision Sunday, the Sunday of understanding that what our mission is all about as members of St. Luke's, we recognize that we can't do this alone. We do it with each other. We understand that, you know, I don't know why Lutherans have such difficulty with the idea of just talking about Jesus. You know, you say something and all of a sudden, you know, everybody freezes up. Jim Gaffigan, a comedian, he, every once in a while he'll bring up his Roman Catholic faith and he'll say the best, wonderful way of shutting up the congregation is just to say something about Jesus, because everybody gets totally quiet. You want to ruin a good time, a laughter, just say Jesus and oh. And then there's nervous giggles that are going on, but he's right. And we shouldn't be. Because after all, the reason why you're here is because God's love was so great that he has made you his child through the gift of baptism. And he says, you're mine, you're connected with me. And it's not just based on how strong you make that connection. It's by the strength of my connection to you, which will last forever. And to me, that's good stuff. That's stuff that I would want people to hear. That I want my neighbors and my kids and my grandkids and everyone else that I connect with in my life to know. It shouldn't be something that we should be afraid of. God has given us the words in which placed in our mouth through the gift of the Holy Spirit, and you have those words. So today, we're connected. And we're connected by virtue of the fact that somebody in your life invited you, just like Andrew did with Peter, and said, come on, I found him. Well, come on. I've also found him. I also have come to know him. And I see him every time I encounter you, every time we celebrate the gift of baptism, every time we gather around the altar, every time we celebrate in prayer or worship, or when we're together in an educational moment, or when we're fellowshipping, I see Christ present in each other because of what he has done for us. It's good news. And today is just filled with all kinds of good news. So get connected. Know that God is with you. Know that, you know, as John the Baptist pointed to him, so too do you. Behold, the Lamb of God, the one who is the Savior of the world, who has brought to me a new life, a life everlasting. What better news than that? So it's okay if you don't know all the disciples. But just know that like them, you and I also bear the light of the world. And we share the very thing that Andrew shared this day. Come and see. Amen.